this river, the river in Egypt, the Nile River, and we'll still talk more about it, but we're going to be looking at the other river, the River of Life.
Hallelujah.
But there are two rivers running, and two streams running. Amen. Ezekiel 47. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel 47. And we'll be looking at Exodus also to see this river of Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
If you look at the scripture in the Exodus 12:10. Exodus 12. We talked about the Passover. At the time of Passover, he says that they must verse 10 and 11. It says, "And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that you remain it of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins gathered." Amen. Passover is the journey of the loins.
Yes.
We have reduced it, and we have reduced it, and reduced it, and reduced it, and it's lost its power. You know, so Passover is the journey of the loins of the mind. It is the journey of the inward path from Egypt into Zion. You know, so somebody says a journey must have a beginning and an end. Wandering has a beginning but has no end.
Amen.
So we are not wandering,
right?
But we are on a journey.
Amen.
I hope you are on a journey. Mm. Amen. So, so there is a journey from Egypt. So this is the beginning of the journey, and the journey has an end. Zion is the end of the journey. So it begins from Egypt and ends in Zion. There are two stops in the way. There are two other stops. The first is in the wilderness. Second one is the promised land. So the journey is the journey must end in Zion. Amen. And someone says I should be color friendly. So I'm trying to be color friendly. So here is a very important landmark, the Red Sea. And here is another landmark, Jordan. But here is the most important, and this is the River of Life. This is a spiritual river. This is the river in the soul. This one, you find it somewhere in Egypt. It's there, even now. This one is also somewhere in Egypt, in the Middle East. But this one, you can't find it anywhere. It's within you. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go through it again. So, the journey begins in Egypt and ends in Zion. Zion is within the promised land. It's on a very, very, very high dimension. Amen. So, if you hate height, you know, there are people who don't like height. You know, it just wants to stay in Kenya, just the coastline, just the lowland. But you're going to have a problem. Because it means you'll not reach the destination. You know, the destination is in the height. It is therefore we shall come and sing in the height of Zion.
Amen.
Because that's where you have wine, that's where you have wheat, that's where you have all the rejoicing. The good thing. When you're driving to Jerusalem from the airport, you see it. You know, you're very far if you've been to that place. It's so high, right up. Amen. So it's not hidden. It's from everywhere. You just know you're heading for Zion. So in Egypt, this is the beginning of the journey. The wilderness will speak of the outer crust. So the wilderness is what you will call the outer crust. The promised land is what you call the holy place. And then Zion is that most holy place. Amen. So I hope it's not too busy. Father? Okay, yeah. You said I should complete it. And the Egypt is what? The world of darkness. Or looting. Okay, they said I should be doing looting. I should put USA. Or I should write Kampala. Okay, but that goes. Amen. You know, so this is a very good picture to look at. So you can go home and look at it, try and study it, and try to do a location, because it's good to know where you are. So it's like where am I, and where am I going to? Sometimes we see that. You know, we begin to wonder, and we don't have a direction. But like someone said, these are the days when it says that the men of Issachar, you know, there are men who they knew and they knew what Israel ought to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
So the thing is, who is the one making this journey? It is the loin, it is the soul that is making the journey, you know. That has to go from Egypt through the Red Sea to the wilderness, through Jordan in the wilderness, into the promised land, and in the promised land must come up to this higher dimension. And in going through that dimension, we'll go through the river of life into Zion, into the height of Zion. And this is where it's happening. Amen. And in Zion there are three promises, three experiences. One is the hidden manna.
Yes.
You know, when they entered the promised land, the free manna stopped.
Yes.
You know, so whatever food you need, you buy it, you work for it. So the manna is hidden because you must break through. It's something in the spirit, you know. So you need, there are certain experiences, certain qualifications. The second one is the two tablets of stone, and then the last one is the Aaron's rod. And all these dimensions are dimensions of the tree. The children of Israel walk in each one of them historically. So there are experiences that are here for us and that we can walk in. And so hopefully we should get and touch them. So the objective is to get to Zion. So we're actually speaking about the redemption of the soul. The soul has to be redeemed from the realm of worldliness as it's, you know, through a process. Let's look at, I don't really have time, but if you look at Ezekiel 47, it's speaking about this river. You know, the river is at four levels. There are four dimensions, there are actually three dimensions. The last one is in two dimensions. The first dimension of that river is that the river is at the ankle. The second dimension, the man said he brought me to the river, to the temple, and from the temple was a river flowing, and it, you know, he measured 1,000, and he brought me to the ankle, to the knees, and then he measured again and brought him to the knees. And then measured again and brought him to the loins. Amen. And when he measured the last time, it was just a mighty river that he could not do anything but to swim in. So the objective is that the river must be at the loins. Because it is at the line that the change in the soul takes place. Some of us are just at the brink. The ankle speaks of the brink experience. You know, you see, if you've been to the shore of the river or the sea, you can't really go too much if you don't want to get drowned. So you probably won't. And that's why you find many people. You know, even if you go out to the beach, many people are just at the shore, you know, looking, you know, observing. And so it is that many have been observing, we're just watching. And remember the scripture that says, that speaks of the man who is seeing and the man who is entering the kingdom, you know. So there's a lot of observation in the church, spectatorship. Clergy lazy, you know. So the man is not involved. He's just there at the place, enjoying the delivery, enjoying the miracles and the all the things going on, but not involved. So someone can say, "I've been to the river." Well, if you're not a detailed person, so you went to the river, you saw the river. But you ask, "Where were you? Did you really get involved?" You know. When you are not involved, then nothing has changed, you know. But there is the other dimension of the knee. The knee, the Hebrew word for knee is actually taken from a root word. The Hebrew word, they say, is berek. It says berek. B-E-R-E-K, Berek. That's the word translated knee. But it's from a better Hebrew word. Barak. And it means blessing. So the knee is the blessing experience. You know, there are many people who like the blessing. This one. Yeah, is there anyone who doesn't want to be blessed? Yeah. We like the blessing. We claim the promise. You know, so the church has managed to move from just knee, just ankle experience, to the place of blessing, barak. You know, and right now it's taking over the whole realm of the church, blessing, prosperity, and other, and that's all you know, that's all you hear. You know, even the other was complaining to his brother, even in quarters and places, who should know better? You know, so they have abandoned sheep, and everybody is talking about prosperity, deliverance, and so on. I said, this is one wood. You know what is one wood? You know, the waters are being made bitter. You can't really find anything sweet anymore to take it. All blessing, blessing, blessing. And it's not what God is saying. And, you know, it's not just blessing, just bad. It's good. But you see, there's a reality that I believe God is asking the people to go up to. And that is the reality of the loins. You know, he said, when he moved 1,000, he brought me to the loins. You know, the water was at the realm of the loins. And that is where we must do business with God. You know, the loins. The reason is that the loins speak of the foundation of the ministry, foundation of offering. Because he said, when he was going to dress, if you look at Exodus 28, he said, when you dress the priest, the first thing you do is that you put linen breeches upon his loins.
Yes.
That's the first dressing. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's upon that basis that every other dressing, you know, all the other foundation, you know, of being qualified to bring offering is made in our loins, in the loins of the individual. And it is so very important that when the devil moved in on man, the first place he went was to the loins. Amen.
Yes.
The first place he went to, the place where the seed of darkness was sown into the soul of Adam, was in the loins. He said the woman looked and she saw that it was good. That was when the program was implanted. That was when the program was installed. You know, and she took it. The biggest doorway into the soul is through where? Through the mind and through the eyes. Amen. The most powerful gate of hell is the gate of the lust of the eyes.
Right.
That is the eye that feeds the soul. I don't know if you understand. I don't know if I can use that terminology. The soul must be fed. The soul must receive life. If you close your eyes for today, life will be so miserable for you. Okay, not for you, for me. Can you imagine what you would do without the eye? Nothing will happen. Life will lose all the sweetness that you see, all the colors, all the depth, all the... You can imagine what happens through the eye. You know? So, even the body depends on the eye. But the Bible talks about the eyes, that there are two realms of the eyes. There is the eyes in the mind, and then there is the eyes in the body. So the Bible does make a separation between the physical eyes and the spiritual eyes. I was trying to get into that this afternoon. The spiritual eyes, it says, when you talk of perception, it means to see things without the natural eyes. Then you say you perceive something, you're able to sense something. So the God has given you and given me ability to be able to relate to the things around. You know, and one of those abilities that the body has, which is actually an ability within the body, which is within the soul, is the ability to see. You know, it's the ability to see. And there are different types of seeing. There is a casual seeing, glancing. You just look at it and you pass on. The extreme of it is to see something, to inspect it, to study it, to know it in detail. And it's the Hebrew, the Greeks call it theorem. It's from there that they got the word theory, you understand? So you study so much that you're able to summarize it and category, you know, you put some dimensions to it. It all comes from the soul. That is the ability in the soul. The soul is able to grasp, is to look at, to focus on something. And it says, my son, give me your heart. God is speaking about the soul. He's saying, open the soul, open your heart to the Lord. Amen. Now, the thing is that this soul is also open to the devil, because it's either you open to the Lord or it's open to the devil. So it's like, unto whom is the soul open unto? What are you looking? What is the you know, someone says, spring wide the everlasting door. Say, lift up the everlasting door. Let the gate be lifted up. Which gate are you talking of? It is the gate of the soul. And the Bible says, I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. So he's speaking of a gate. He says the hell has acquired, has captured, has appropriated unto itself the gate of the soul, and it is using it to transport and export and do every manner of that thing. So man is at a, you and I, let's not say man, I am at a level where I am walking in a particular dimension, because I do not know, I do not understand what is within me. So when the Bible speaks about the experience of the anchor, he's speaking of the soul, you know, that is not touched. The soul, the thing about the gospel is just anchor, nothing has changed. You know, someone says, we're talking about Revelation 13, you know, say the beast from the earth is a hypocrite, you know, it's a hypocrite soul, you know, it looks like a lamb, has two horns as a lamb, but when he speaks like a dragon. That is because as a man is within, that is what he vocalizes, you know. So it doesn't go together. So it's a caricature. It's hypocritical, you know. It's saying something and doing something else. And the reason is very clear, because the waters have not come to the light. The waters have not come to the reality. That is the inward man is still what he is, headbound, falling, and serving the priesthood of darkness. To make that clear, let's go back to Egypt. Now, in Egypt, something happened to the soul. Something happened to the soul. And if the river, this river that is coming to the loin, the river that is coming to the inward part, has an objective, and that objective is the objective of the New Testament. It says that in the Old Covenant, that the worshipper, the man that brings the worshipper was the soul, and that as long as the soul came and brought an offering in the Old Covenant, he still had a conscience of sin. The conscience was not addressed. This conscience was crying out for something, you know. So it's like a man that is at the water. The water is at the feet, but he has no experience, you know. He's not, the water has not done anything. It's not touched. It's not wet. He's still who he is. And God says, "I will take away the old, that I may bring in the new." And he says, "I will make a new covenant, and this covenant will address the problem of the worshipper, the problem of the soul. I will put my nomos, my law, within news, within," that word inward plan means within his mind, within the realms and dimension of his being. I will put the law. Because the law of God is the law of the soul. Now he says that the Gentiles, for as long as they did not have the covenant of God, God did not bother with them to judge them according to the law, because there was a higher law. And I want you to understand that there is a higher law. The law of God is the law of the mind. So he says that the Gentiles who didn't have the covenant, the who walked according to the law of their conscience, they served the law of God. In other words, there is a law of God, and that law of God is in the realm of the mind. And God says, I will put my law in the inward part.
Amen.
The law of God is not in the to say do this or do that. That it was. In fact, he said that Paul said, therefore, what was the purpose of the law? He said the law was the schoolmaster.
Yes.
To bring, because the people, the man couldn't walk, was not yet time to begin to operate in the real law of God. He brought in the covenant, and it was there temporarily until the time of the covenant.
Yes, amen.
Brethren, we need to know that we are in the time of the covenant.
Yes, amen.
We are in the time when God is writing His law, and He says the temple will soon be opened, and the law of God is going to be made manifest. Says, let us go to the house of the Lord, for He will teach us your fall. Out of Zion shall the law go for. The law that is going for is going to come from within the soul of man. So God is not going to judge me based on what is written, and He is going to judge me according to the law of the conscience. Amen. And because within man is that realm where there's the good, there's a place of good, of calling good good, of calling evil evil. But today the nature of man has fallen so much that men call bad good, and that which is good is called bad. And you and I, we are in a time when righteousness will become very, very rare. And that which will be right will be evil.
Yes.
And very, very soon, right now, they have approved a third gender called transgender.
Yes.
And very soon, it's going to become the real gender. And those of us who are the right side will become rare. Because everybody who wants to belong will have to subscribe to a new gender called transgender, and all that and all. So it's showing you that is the history. It's a mirror to see how far and how fast the humanity is falling. So we're speaking of Egypt, and what happened in Egypt. Now in Egypt, Egypt is the place of the captivity of the vine. If you come into Egypt, there's just only one picture that you'll see. You'll see Pharaoh. That's what you see in Egypt. And Pharaoh has a characteristic. He has a serpent.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Do you understand? Pharaoh has a serpent on his mind. That's the symbol of Egypt. It's a serpentine nature.
Yes.
It's a nature that will ever crawl. It will forever crawl on the earth. It can never rise. Amen. So it speaks of the captivity of the mind.
Yes.
And that is the journey. So the mind is been imprisoned. So we see that God in His time allowed the people of God to be captured in Egypt. It was an allegory. It was a speaking, you know, of that which has happened to man.
Mm-hmm.
That the people of God got this out and got into Egypt, and there they were captive. You know, and that captivity is my captivity, and it's your captivity. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the soul of man must be released from Egypt.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That is the story of the Passover. So
yes.
The Passover is the Passover of the loins. They say when you begin that night, and the journey is at midnight, you have your staff, you have your loins gathered, you have your shoes on your feet. And of course you eat that food, bitter herbs. And the proof of the food is that it must be bitter.
Oh yes.
That's the proof of the gospel. But it so happens that the people of God these days don't want anything bitter. You know, it's sweet, sweet, sweet. When the word is sweet, 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 you for those who know who want the real stuff, they say this is nothing. But don't eat it, and it must be bitter in the belly.
Yes, sir.
The true word of God must be violent to the belly. it must come right and left. It must divide front and back. You must cut everything in its sight, in its territory. That's how you know the word of God. It must cut you within. Amen. If it's not strong, if it doesn't do its work within, then it's not the word of God. Amen. So the man ate it. He eat the roll. Eat it. And he ate it. It was sweet in his mouth. But very, very bitter in his belly. May the word of God work a bitterness within us.
Oh, yes. Amen.
The bitterness is of repentance. Of repentance, and that is something that we need. So when we're looking at Egypt, where the journey of the loins begins, it's the place of the captivity of the soul. Now this, so the thing is, why is the devil interested in the captivity in the mind? Why is it interested in the captivity of the mind? You look at the experience of Saul. You know, they captured him and they cut off his head and they buried it in the temple of Ashtaroth. His body was somewhere else. Amen. So when his people came through the night, they were only able to recover his body, but his head was all recovered. Still lost in the temple of Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth speaks of sexuality. You know,
yes.
It's the temple of sexuality. You only need to look through Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians to see. The top on the bill, you know, are the mind-related sexual things. You know, and you go further, you come to Ezekiel, so he brought him to the temple. And what did he see? It's to say he saw women, yeah, weeping for Tammuz in the house of God. Now, you need to take another journey, go back to the Old Testament, to the temple also. And you see a man called Manasseh. The man said that Manasseh built altars in the two courts of the tabernacle. Do you understand? He built altars in the holy place. He built altars in the outer court. He built altars in the most holy place. He filled the whole tabernacle with altars. And the activity of Manasseh is actually speaking of me, this temple of the body, this new body. Alright? And God says, my house, this house must be a house of prayer. We were speaking about the thing about idol. When you speak of idolatry, don't think of anything physical, think of the mind.
Okay.
Idolatry has one realm, and it is the mind. It is the image the mind has. It's an idea. It might be a job, it may be a course, maybe a vision, maybe an understanding, it may be a doctrine, it might relate to it anywhere, but it is an image that is erected. And the Bible says there are different types of image. There is the image of stone. I mean, it is long-standing. And so those images are trans-ancestral. That is, they have come from one ancestry to the other. And as they have passed down the line, they have become stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay.
So when you want to deal with an image of stone, you break it down, you grind it to powder. To see that that's it. You understand? There are the images of wood, Asherah. Okay? There are different images, different types of altars. And these are different situations that are in the mind. And this is what God wants to do. So you and I have a journey to make from Egypt through the wilderness, through the promised land, into Zion. And in Zion, there is just one image. Because David built that altar, that temple. And in that temple was just the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was open, it was a tent, it was a direct relationship. You come in and then you were able to have an experience with it. Now, the first experience beyond Egypt, when God began to deal with the thing about Egypt, was that the first thing God had to deal with was to deal with the Nile. So he said, I'm going to judge the gods of Egypt. And brethren, we must know that there are gods. We use the word God, that there are ruling spirits. And Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against princes, against principalities, against spirits. I encourage you to, and encourage us to understand that when you are dealing with an attitude, with, or a habit, or a character, you are dealing with a spirit within you. I know it doesn't really feel very good. It is still very difficult to accept, but that's the reality. You know, psychology has nothing to do with this, or psychiatry, or whatever, sociology, whatever, the book really has nothing to do with this. This is reality. That man is the habitation of spirit. Man is the habitation of the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God doesn't have authority over man, then other lesser spirits have come. And that is the thing. So it says that this man must be cleansed and emptied of all the spirits that are within. So in the Nile, God, he says, go and touch, you know, do something to the Nile, and it became blood. You know, it became blood. And there's such a scripture that says that the rivers became blood, and every soul in the sea died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, you have said that, yes, the Revelation 16. He said that all the souls in the sea, they died, a third of you died. So, sometimes, you know, I tell my wife, I say, well, we're not being realistic. You know, human nature is changing, and then you expect life where you should not expect life. I don't know, you say humanity is dying.
That's right.
When you say dying, that is losing the quality of the life of God. And what's the quality of life of God? Patience, love, kindness, what's the other? Joy, gentleness, peace, compassion. You know, it says they are implacable. You use all those big words. You can't say because humanity is losing it by the day. And even within the church, you see these qualities there. They are becoming scarce commodities. And for me, it's like, what do I have? Who am I? What do I have? These fruits. You understand? One of the things you find during, it says, at the Feast of Tabernacles, is that it's a fruit, it's a place where you harvest the vine, you know, sweet wine, the sweetness. That's one of the things that happens when you walk with the Lord. My life should be sweet. You know, it's such that people can they're blessed by coming in contact with me. Amen. So it's not just the theory, but that you know, there is a sweetness that comes with interaction with me. When people know me and come in contact with me, there's a sweetness that should come. But in Egypt, as part of what has happened and is happening to the world, it's the other way around. That violent, you know, thorns and thistles. They say, he told the Adam, say, the earth is going to bring forth for you thorns and thistles. You know, that is going to choke those who come to you. Instead of being blessed, they go away with very rough edges, mm-hmm. rough experiences. May the Lord help us, amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That our lives will be sweet.
Amen.
Amen. So, the Nile water speaks of the flood. We were talking about in the morning that has been released to overwhelm the soul. But there's another river, and that is the river of life.
Amen.
That's also been released to bring life. Hallelujah. To bring healing to the stone. Let's move quickly to the next one. The next one, the next plague, is the plague of the frog. This one is very important. The Bible says that the frogs came from the Nile. The frogs came from the Nile. And the frogs, they jumped into the bed. They jumped into the marriages. They jumped into the relationships. And the frogs jumped into the kneading vessels. Into every vessel that was in the house. They jumped into everything. You know. And someone is saying, what is the frog? Well, you find a direct scripture. There's no inference. In Revelation, you see there were three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of the mouth of the false prophet, the beast, and there was the wrong one. And he said, these are the unclean spirits. So, there is something that has been happening, is that there's been a flood of unrighteousness that has been released upon the mind. You know, in my practice, you know, when you take stem cells, those stem cells will go to only one place. They're going to the bone marrow. You know, so they go direct. When you transfuse the stem cells, wherever you put them, they are going to one location. They are going to the bone marrow. So don't mind me. That is a little bit of medicine. I was just trying to give you an example. Now, when this spirit comes in through the mind, through the eyes, through the ears, or through touch, because there are five doorways into the body, and then the main one through the mind, they go to one place, are going to the lungs. Amen. And these spirits are going to lodge within the lungs. I don't know if you understand. Yeah. The spirits that come in, they have a destination. And where are they going to? They're going to the lodge. They lodge there. Amen. And when these spirits lodge in the lungs, they are not just there for decoration. They are going to do something else. That brings us to the third plague. You see, you know, someone was saying, what is the timeline? There's a timeline of darkness. There's a timeline of darkness. And, you see, and it's going, the devil has a plan. You know, and we as the people of God, we must know, as sons of God, we must know. And we must check ourselves to see what is it that the devil is doing. Now, the third plague that we found in Egypt is the plague of the creeping things, the vermin, you know, the different insects. Now, the thing about the insect is that the insect is heavy on the body and light on the wings. And so the very bad ones say their legs are above their body. They will never rise above the head. Okay. I don't know if you understand. The insect is heavy on the body, very small, tiny legs, which are above the body. And the wings are very, very, very infantile, very weak. The wings cannot carry the body. So the insect or the vermin is headbound. And some of them have multiple legs. So that means it is rooted. And God, one of the things that we were encouraged to do, that Adam was to do, God told him, you must overcome the creeping things, the creeping nature. You see, these spirits that have gone to the loins, they are there to bring forth dead works. See, dead works come from the loins, they come from the conscience. Alright? And that's what Hebrews says, that the conscience brings forth dead works. And one of the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ is what? Repentance from dead works. The repentance must be at the realm of the Lord. You know, and so it's important that the line is presented to God. So when he says present yourself as a living sacrifice, he's saying bring forth your inward part unto the Lord. Last night Brabant was speaking about the rich young ruler. You know, and that is a very good example of the peace offering. The rich young ruler is a very good example of the peace offering. You know, and it's part of what we're talking about. Now, the peace offering is the offering of the inward part. It's the offering of the liver. It's the offering of the kidney. And it's the offering of the fat. The fat represents passion. You know, it's the heat. The heat of the soul is found in the passion. Amen. And God told that young man, go and sell all. And the Bible says he went away. Sorrowful. Who is going to sell the passion? You want to offer God your passion? Amen. So God said to Abraham. Give me your only son. It was speaking. God was going for the passion. It was going for the fact. You know, the cream, the choiceless fact. It's offered to me. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when we are speaking about the God healing the passion, healing the longing. You know, God dealing with the inward part. You know, we are speaking of practical experiences. We are speaking of practical issues that must be offered to God. Amen. And may the Lord encourage us.
Amen.
To bring the right offering.
Amen.
And He's asking for the best, for the fact. So you burn the fact. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May we be strengthened to burn the fire.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, the tenth plague was the plague of the creeping things. And God had to judge it. You know, had to break the power of dead works. You know, dead works that will not bring life. Someone says, any activity that does not originate from Christ is dead work. Amen. Any activity that does not originate from Christ, is not Christ originated, is dead work. Amen. So what activity am I involved in? Is it self-motivated or is Christ motivated? Amen. You know, someone says there's so much activity in the church today. Building this, doing this, doing this. You know, sometimes we need to stop and ask, what is the origin? What is the motive of the activity? And, because God is dealing with the dead ones. Dead ones for the soul. The other thing about the vermin is because of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is earthly bound. The Bible says if you are ethnic in the carnal minded, it's going to be death. You know, so those that mind earthly things, they are carnal. So the converse is, you know, the spiritually minded is what brings life and peace to us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, going on to the fourth one. The speech of the plague of the flies. Amen. Remember, the devil has been building up. First the river comes, after the river comes frogs, unclean spirits. And these spirits, they lodge in the loins. And they capture the mind. They begin to cause the mind to be earthly minded. The devil hasn't gotten to where he's going to. But right now, there are spirits walking in the realms of the mind. You know? And those spirits have been walking in the earth. And they have taken over the mind. There was a time when the fear of God was so powerful on the earth that you know, homosexuals were very, very unpopular. They were, you know, yeah, they were closet, you know, but it's out of the closet. Don't you understand? So that is the darkness has progressed. So we are trying to look at this darkness, the way it has gone. And please bear in mind that this is in the mind. I'm speaking about the mind. That's real, where the devil is going. This is the mind. Television came in 1929, you know. Right now, it's gone weird. You don't even need to go to theater to watch it anymore. In fact, the communication people will tell you that television is going out of use. It's going out of use. They are coming to something else where the individual designs his own program. You design your own program. Because with your iPad and phone, you have enough, you know, to do anything you want. So you can design whatever you do. So right now, they have gone out of television. They are right now in social media. You call it social media. You understand? So, you see, it's the thing in the mind. You call it information superhighway. The devil is investing in the mind. And it is a flood. Like capturing the mind.
Okay.
Hallelujah. So you see, young ones, we want to show that we are doing well for our young ones. We buy them phones and we leave them. What you have done is that you have brought Nile to your child. Metoria, swing wide, Nile. Take over the child. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So even we, the adults, we are dealing with information. You understand? I don't know how many emails we have. Can you keep up with it? You know, that you want to answer your mails, it takes you 3 hours to do your mails, and your Bible is still waiting for you. You know, so how are you going to keep up? You know, and so it's an information barrier. You say it's coming and it's coming and it's coming. You know, and so they were working. They said, so you cannot run away. You must deal with it. You know, and it's, everything is on the mind. And so from the creeping things, it brings us to the next level. And the next level is the level of the flies. The plague of the flies. As the fourth one. You know, so I always remember it because it has to do with four. So it speaks of the four corners of the earth. You know. And what does the Bible have to say about these flies? It says, where the carcass is. What do you have with flies? When you think of flies, you think of dead things, lifeless things. That is, things that do not have the life of God. But how is it that we desire the things that do not have the life of God? It's called lust. That is, desire for things that are not right for you. Alright? So it's called lust. And there's another word for it, licentiousness. I mean, that is someone or a soul that desires something without principle. That is, the set standards of society, of God, are broken down in that desire. It's called licentiousness. You know, and Paul talked about it. Somebody talked about another word, perversion. You say it is to be obstinate in desiring something that one should not have. That is that desire. To be obstinate. To obstinately be determined to desire something that you should not have. Perversion. Lasciviousness is it actually pertains to sexual desire in the same dimension, but now sexual desire. So the fly situation is a sign of the locust, of someone who has been bitten by the locust. You know, because the local situation is to hunger and pant after unclean things. Local situation. Because in Revelation 9, when they were beaten by the desire death. You know, you understand? So when you are desiring death and you cannot be satisfied with death, it means that instead of desiring God and having more of God, there's a desire for what does not have the life of God and moves on. So the fly is speaking of passion. You know, it's speaking of the passion situation, flies. The soul is being fed with passion. Babylon. Babylon speaks of the heat of Babylon. You know, if you look at Revelation 18, it says that all nations have been made to drink of the wrath of the fornication. That word wrath speaks of fervency, the heat and fervency of passion. And that is what is being given to the world. And that is what the phone revolution has done. The telephone revolution has bringing passion to the world. You know, so everyone is excited at how much passion that they can have. You know, so you can go to Instagram, you can post your photographs, spend the whole day looking at different types of photographs on Instagram. When you eat rice, it's good. You put it on Instagram, I'll get me like, you know. When I wear a nice cap, I put it on Instagram, I'm wearing a nice cap. So you watch Instagram, and then after that, when you go to another person, you follow Instagram. So you spend the whole day on Instagram looking at pictures. Amen. And okay, that's all I said. Those are images that are bombarding. So, you know. But you, so you, okay, for you, you're just having a nice time, you know, have a right to look at good photographs. But the thing is, it flies, okay, it's decay, you know, something's happening. And it's just one way. Now, when that came a few years ago, we didn't have any problem, we were enjoying it. But it has graduated, and I will show you where it has gone to. Now, that brings us to the fifth station. The fifth station is the station of the bull god, Baphomet. The bull god. Bull god. No, bull.
Bull god.
Sorry, this is almost gone. Bull. The bull god is the two horn. So that is Baphomet. That is Baphomet. Amen. Now this is the animal cult in Egypt. In Egypt there was an animal cult. In my village there is an animal cult. And I'm sure if you check very well in your village, even in Luton here, as a locality, there is an animal cult. It's everywhere. The worship of the animal. You see, you find the Chicago Bulls, you know. Okay. You are playing football. What do they play? Okay, they play basketball.
Bulls play basketball.
Okay, yeah. Bulls play basketball. Fine. Okay. But I do know that it is a headhunter's club. Okay, it's a headhunter. Now, it's not innocent. It's not innocent because in Egypt, they worshipped the bull. When the bull dies, they bury it and they make a ceremony for the bull. And they make an oblation. They mourn for several days to bury the animal. They worship the bull. So when the people came, when Jacob came into Egypt, Pharaoh will not dare to think carefully. He said, what is your trade? He said, my trade is that I keep cattle. So he said, okay, I'm going to put you out of my sight. Go to Goshen I'm going to keep your captain.
Mm.
You know, because for the Egyptians, it was a god. They worshipped.
Yeah.
They worshipped it. The Egyptians worshipped different forms of animals.
Mm.
You know, and it goes down and down. In different places, they worship different things. But it's all part of the animal cult, you know, that the people get involved in. And of course, in the occult, in the masonry, the bull is revered. And it was not a surprise that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
while Moses was up there, what did they do?
Mm-hmm.
Because a calf that has two horns
mm-hmm.
that they made to worship.
Sure.
Now, the two horns is symbolic. And that's the way we're going to. The two horns are symbolic. The first of those horns speaks of rebellion. The first. Now, what the devil wants to do is to enthrone rebellion. And what is rebellion? It's the rebellion of darkness within the soul. Remember, the devil says, I am God. We sit as God in the temple of God, demanding worship as God. So you see that in Thessalonians where he said that he's going to see. So the seed of darkness that was planted has a destination. The devil wants to be enthroned as God within the realms of the mind. And so that's one dimension of it. Now the other dimension is what we spoke about in the morning. That is the image of the day. That's the worship of darkness by the soul. So there are two principles working. The principles of rebellion. And rebellion is the principle of witchcraft. And witchcraft means alternative government. Alright? So you find those principles in the things that, you know, you go to buy conflict and they begin to show you different images. You know, they of course they say it's a computer game, but the things you are seeing in the computer game are images of sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
And they are impacting these things in the heart of the children. You know, you see a small picture of a skull. Okay? Very soon now, it's no longer a small picture, it's a very big picture of the skull. You know, skull candy, you know. So those are images of rebellion. That's rebelling against the established order of righteousness. So the young people, what the young people are at risk of is a culture that is ungodly. Okay? When evolution came, it was still part of that culture of rebellion that was being introduced. So you see the thing is bleeding into every form of society. They've entered marriage, they are entering sports. Sports is a major avenue of this rebellion.
Yeah.
And sports is a platform for unclean dressing. You know, because the man is a sportsman, he can wear pants. You know what they call pants? The man wears a long shirt that is sleeveless. It's a homosexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to buy gas, so he wears pants with a very big shot. It was a program to desensitize us,
mm-hmm.
so that we will get used to, you know, looseness in the dressing. So the devil used the platform of sports to introduce so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Another platform he used was HIV to encourage and protect the minorities. And of course, the minorities he was looking at were these homosexuals. And before we knew what was happening with HIV, homosexuals are home and dry. You understand? So these are the seeds of rebellion that have been sown in the earth. You know, so the fifth plague had to deal with this animal plague, animal cult. But the real issue with this sixth plague, with the fifth plague, was the idolatry. You know, the idols that were being implanted in the mind of children, of, you know, of society, and so on. Now, the fifth one.
Sorry, you skipped the light before the fire.
That's what you call the creeping thing.
That's the creeping thing.
Oh,
insects, yes. Yes. Insects, yes. Those are the creeping things, you know. But the fifth one, this animal cult, the essential issue was the idol. Is the idol in the human? Is the impacting, like, trying to establish idolatry in the mind, promote it, make it look normal to have images, which are ungodly. Now, the result of all this is the boils. The plague of the boils. Now, the plague of the boil has to do with decay, the breakdown of the body. Now, the body will not break down unless the life source that supplies life to the body is taken away. You know, so when there's an image in the mind, you know, that is a very established way of cutting off life from God. Like, if I have an image, remember God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. So when there's an image that has been enthroned within the soul, what happens is that the life of God is cut off. And when the life of God is cut off, the body cannot retain, the darkness that has come within it. And the result of that has been a breakdown, boil, a breakdown of the body, and a decay of the body. And so, in other words, there's no energy, there's no life coming to the soul, and what you have is darkness. And we are at the place where things like HIV came in. You know, different forms of plagues and diseases came into the body, and that goes up to the seventh plague. The seventh one is the plague of the hail, and this is the free-for-all demonic rain. Yes, it's the free-for-all demonic rain, and that's where we're coming to now. It's the rule of demonic activity in the mind of man. So it's been building up, the darkness is building up, and the plague of the hail is the rule of demonic activity over. I remember God says, I will shake the heaven and I will shake the earth. You know, say, I will bring a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes, amen.
But the reason why I'm going this way is that if I, as a person, do not take an action to deal with my mind,
right,
this is the way the mind is going to go.
Right.
Because that is the purpose of it. It's not an accident. This is a railroad the devil is working. This is the program he is working on. And nothing is going to stop it. The only thing that will stop it is that you, in your own mind, because my mind is not going to go this way.
Mm.
And for my mind to go, not go, that means my mind must be opened to the river of God.
Hallelujah.
So every morning I present my mind.
Aye.
I say, Lord, change my mind.
Amen.
So be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Okay, so the mind must be deliberately renewed. It's not by wishing till I wish that my mind will be able to know. The mind is in captivity and it's being gradually worked on to change it onto darkness.
Hmm.
So if I'm going to change it onto light, then I also must actively
work.
So you must labor to work out your salvation with trembling.
Amen.
Now, the hail is the seventh one. The sixth one, I remember, that's where you have 666. The sixth one is the idolatry. It's the enthronement of the alternative government in the mind of man. And when it comes in three measures, remember, 666 is the height. It is the fullness of the rebellion of man. That is where it becomes enthroned. Then number eight, is the locust. And the Bible says that what the plague did not destroy, when the locust came, everything else that was green, that was remaining, was completely destroyed. So the locust builds on the devastation that has been produced by this spirit that have been released, that are walking on the earth. And the ninth plague is darkness. The ninth plague is darkness. I don't think we have come to the ninth plague yet. I don't think we have come into the darkness yet. I think the devil is still playing around. We are hovering somewhere between the seventh and, I believe, the fifth one. That's where I think we are. The fifth plague, the sixth one. So right now the devil is walking in the mind to enthrone himself, to enthrone darkness and the worship of darkness as a lifestyle in the minds of men. So you and I will have to check ourselves. What is my soul? How tender, how intimate is my relationship with God? How intimate are even my relationship with people that are around me? Am I, am I affectionate? Is there life in me? Do I give life? Am I sweet? Those are the kind of things that we should be looking at. And the locust is the place of destruction, and it's going to herald darkness. Now, you see, this darkness was in Egypt, And if you look at another thing that this the locust destroys is the fertility of the mind, the ability of the mind to bring forth the life of God. That is one of the major things the darkness destroys: the ability to be godly, the ability to be righteous, the ability to desire righteousness, the ability to appreciate. Someone talks about the love of the truth, that because they do not have the love of the truth, I will give them up to a reprobate mind. So there is a place where someone loves the truth. You just love righteousness. You love what is good. You have, it gives life to you. It ministers to you. The locust takes it away. That ability to be. Someone says, the robot was talking last night. Something happened, and the people, there was no response. The man didn't just do anything, because that ability to rise up. Someone said when they brought the gay thing in France, they rioted. They went to Germany, they went on the street. But when they came to England, everybody was in the town. There was no riot in England about homosexuality. Nobody, there was no public movement on the street. Nobody did anything. Then in France, they were out on the street. In Germany, they were out on the street. But in this country, in Scotland, they were out on the street. But in this country, nobody carried a placard. And it's not law. I think it's not law. It's the ninth. It's not law. There's no riot. Nobody did anything. For me, I know it's the locust effect. It's the locust. It's eating away that ability to desire anything. It should not affect us. We have to really. And then finally, we have the midnight. Darkness. Yeah, I talked about darkness. That's the rule of darkness over. And it's within the mind. The darkness is within the mind. The enthronement of darkness within the mind. And then finally, you have first fruit and firstborn. God's sons will be brought forth at midnight. But brethren, midnight is not yet here. But we can see it coming. Are we preparing for the midnight? Midnight means there's no life. Everything is all quenched out. Homosexuality will become the order of the day. Unrighteousness will become the order of the day. You know, the things that you and I will not think will be possible, it will become the order of the day. And the thing is, the Bible says, if we have run with the footmen and the wheel leaders, what are we going to do with the horse? So the horse's feet of a stronger, more violent spiritual pressure. The Bible speaks of the Assyrian. The Assyrian is swift. It's swifter than the horse. They overrun you in seconds. You know? And it speaks of a certain measure of spirit that are going to be revealed. And sometimes, well, I feel in my spirit, it's like, you see, when you think of diabetes, hypertension, all those bad names, cancer, those are spirits. They have been ahead. So what's the asthma? Those are
God bless you.
Amen. You know, so you are dealing with spirits that have been released. You know, that, of course, you say, oh, it's a health condition. Forget it. It's not a health condition. They are spirits that have been released. And they are running wild. Now, it will take the Son of God, the activation of the sons of God, to stop it. That's for you and for your loved one and in the society. You know, so the Bible talks about wild beasts. That God will not allow the wild beast to come if there's no man to deal with it. So if you look at the scripture in Revelation 7, it said that there were four angels at the four corners. What are the four corners? It's the four dimensions of the soul. There are angels there waiting to bring destruction. You understand? And the man says, do not hurt the earth or the trees until we seal the servants of God. Where?
In the mind.
The sealing is in the mind. The healing was there in the mind. And there is a river, there is a provision in God to heal my mind. You know, so if God has made a provision, the question is, am I submitting myself to this provision? You know, one of the things I found out is that when I sit in front of a television, before I didn't know what was happening to me, now I knew that there is a flood of darkness coming from the television.
Yes.
I know you may not like it, but the truth is that there is a flood of mind.
From hell.
It's let loose. And it's coming right into the soul. And how you know is, after 1 hour, just check yourself. Of listening to BBC. Just BBC. Not BBC. Or CNN. Just 1 hour. Check the dimension of your soul. It will tell you exactly what's going on. It's going down and down and down. In Proverbs it says, my son, give heed to my law. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of the mind.
Yeah.
He says, my son, give heed to my law. Do not forsake the law of thy mother. The law of the mother is the testimony of the church. You understand? That is the church. A.W. Tozer. Brother says, those are the testimony of the church. There are stories, there are books. I know this one. You know my credentials. Do you know Tatumi? You know my credentials. Do you know F.F. Bosworth? You know Beyonce. Do you know John Bunyan? Do you know his house? Do you know the food he ate? So you know the dressing that the parents wear. You know her underneath the pattern. You know where he was born. You know the food he ate. Do you know Tatumi? The Bible says, my son, give heed to my law, to the law of thy mother. That is the testimony of the church. You need to read the history of the church.
Oh yeah.
You need to know those who labored, how they labored, the price they paid. We need to give attention to them. I said, my son, give heed to the law of thy father. That is the word of the Lord to you. Do you write it down? Do you have a testimony of the things God has said to you? Do you have it? He does. So there is no diligence. No. Yeah, so we're not giving, this thing is really, is not precious to us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of dealing with the thing, to deconstruct the mind.
Hey.
It takes a commitment. Somebody says, he says, my son, give attention.
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
To the instruction, to my laws. Say, write it, keep it between the midst of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Keep it within the midst of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep it? Meditation.
Yeah.
What is meditation? You are thinking about it in the house. You enter a car, you are thinking about it. You go to cook, you are thinking about it. You are walking on the road, you are talking about it. It is all over you. So if we are going to choose the mind, then we must give attention to the law of the Lord. And the Bible says that when you walk in the way, it will talk with you.
Mm.
You are sleeping, it will watch over you.
Mm.
You wake up in the morning, it says you wake up.
Amen.
You understand? That is what the law of the Lord should be doing.
Mm.
Now, so it is not, for me, it's not, I have a desire, and I'm hoping, I'm praying that God will bring me to a certain place. But the thing is that there is a price that must be paid to change the mind and to stop this flood.
Yes.
And we see this thing in the children, we see it around, we see it. So it's like, so what do I have control over? Because right now, if you really make a lot of noise, they can, label you hate crime offender. Alright? So how far can you go? What can you do? I saw a pamphlet somewhere, I said medicine after death. Somebody is talking about trying to protest. The law is as in what are you writing pamphlets for? So the thing is, what can we do and what can we allow and what can we not allow? So I believe that there is a river that has come from God, and that river has to address the land. It must address the mind, and that's where the change must come. And when that change comes, it's going to affect our hands. Our hands will be delivered. That deliverance will come. The deliverance cannot come when the place of deliverance has not been and it is not. When the law is affected, our hands will be affected also. And we'll find that we'll have liberty to swim, and to, the hands speaks of our actions, our activity. So for me, that's what I'm seeing, that there is a warfare that is being released. And the devil is working as a program to build up our righteousness. And I believe God is warning us to do something. And someone says, how can a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed according to the word of God. Someone says, thy law have I hid
in my heart.
How do you hide the law of God? You need to repeat it. You need to make it a something that is like, sometimes mechanical. There are some mechanics about it. Well, you do it all the time. So it has to enter into our lifestyle. And I believe that there is help being released from the Lord to help us, not just to know, for knowing, but to the knowing should move us, should agitate us into a place of action. We need to look at those of us who are parents. We need to look at our children. I think we need to review the way we are bringing up our children. Those of us who are adults, we need to look at our lifestyle. God said to me, you have a lifestyle of hoarders. A lifestyle of pleasure, like seeking pleasure. It's a pleasure-seeking lifestyle. I have to do something about it. So we need to come to the work. Say, Lord, help me to take an action, not just to know, but to walk. There's a place to walk in it. And what I've seen is when I make a little effort, I see God reward me. And you know, it's an encouragement. He said, look, this is the way you should go. You know. So I like to encourage us to take a step. A big journey begins with a step. You will take one step. And I was into a tape. Brother said, when a spirit comes to you and you submit to it, what you've done, you strengthen the hand of that spirit. But when the spirit comes to you and you resist it, you have broken the power. Because next time when it comes to you weaker. You understand? And then the next time when it comes to you, resist it, you break it further. You know, so to break the power of the spirit is not the one day to break it. That means that when you fight against a stronghold, you make an advancement. You identify what you need to do with, and then you begin to take them. That means you resist the devil. You know, so the spirit they look say, yeah, it's telling you I'm so strong, it's strong because we have not yet decided not to love our life unto the death. So there has to be a willingness to love, you know, not to love the life. That is, if I have to die, then I should. You know, and it's something that comes here a little. You know, and that journey will be. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So those are just the thoughts in my heart. That's what I wanted to share.
Hallelujah.
I want to read today's devotional for Sunlight devotional because it pertains to the very thing that we listened to, that we've been speaking of, that we've been hearing. And this was Sister Mavis speaking in, I think it was 2004. There is a song that we sing which says, I'm going to see the King. But it should really say, I'm going to be as the King. That is what the Lord is waiting on us for, to be what He has called us to be. Amen. It doesn't matter how much we sing, how much we read, how much we preach, how much whatever we do, if it does not create in us that nature for which Jesus died, we are wasting our time. We are wasting our time and energy and everything else that God has given. We are casting it off. So we have to aim to be like Him. And she has that in capital letters. We have to aim to be like Him in everything that we do. Every utterance that we make to be like Him. We can say a lot of things because talk is cheap. We don't have to pay very much for it, but we have to pay for the life that we ought to live before the Lord.
Amen.
The pearl of greatest price demands that we sell all. Sell all. We have nothing of ourselves. Nothing to hold on to, nothing that we can even bargain with. We have nothing but Him. We have to get to that place where we are totally sold out. Sold out that when the enemy comes knocking at our door, we are not there. He is risen. He is not dead. He is risen. And that is what we have to aim after.
Hallelujah!
Many times we sing many songs and it appeals to our emotions. And we think that we are there, but we are not. Not until it has worked the perfect work of salvation.
Amen.
And deliverance in our souls. Then the enemy comes and has nothing in us. That is what Jesus said in His last hours. He said, the enemy comes and has nothing in me. John 14:30. That is what He is bringing us into. That when the enemy comes, he has nothing in us. He has no place to tempt us. Even in trials, tribulations, troubles, and everything that we sing about, that is to be the focus. If we focus on anything else, we are losing the game. We are missing the mark. We are batting hard, but not hitting the mark. So praise God. We are hoping that when we meet together in the meeting setting, it will bring us closer to reality rather than to generalities, to that which makes us what we ought to be. So that when we leave, when we are by ourselves, or when we are anywhere else, the blood of Jesus is still standing strong in our souls, that we cannot deny him as Peter did. I don't know the man. I never saw him. But after he met Jesus, Jesus told him, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So there is a certain place that we ought to reach in the Lord where Satan cannot reach us. Amen. That is what we are to aim for.
Amen.
When we come to meetings, when we gather together, we have to shake off the old man.
Amen.
Shake off the old deeds, the old doctrine, old sayings, old everything, and let the newness of Christ reign in our hearts. Reign at home, reign at work, reign in our business. I've heard a lot of business people say, but this is business. Where is God? Where is Christ? He is to be foremost in our business, foremost in our home, foremost in our marriage.
Amen.
Now, there is something that I would like to speak on, because a lot of people think that they are married, but they are only married, marred by the enemy. Excuse me, they are only marred by the enemy, stamped by the enemy, because we have been given its stamp. And we are going by that stamp. But the word is a light and a lamp unto our feet. And it is plain for everybody and clear for every stage of life. Every stage from before you were born, there is a word for the unborn child. When you are born, there is a word for you and your parents together. When you are married, there is a word for you that is everlasting. Not for a time, it is everlasting. When the Lord said, till death do us part, he means it. He doesn't mean that next month or when things don't feel right. So there is a word for every stage of life, and that is what we are to lay hold of. Fix it in your place where you are, and it will be life and life unto you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, God's word always requires a response. You know what? And if we touch deep within our hearts, you know, as Brother Paul, you know what, you know, reading that, you know, the song was stirring up in my heart. You know, and that song also, you know, requires an individual, you know, that there is a mighty river.
Yeah.
You know, and as you sing that song, you know, it says, you know, another, you know, stands into another, you know, capture. So flow through me. Actually, you know, there is a spiritual reality, you know, of what getting to the heights of life, you know, that we need to reach. And except we, you know, unplug that fountain, you know, in our spirit man, you know, through the Holy Spirit, we cannot be, you know, a river that really reaches out to and touches, you know, the people in our life. And I trust, you know, this, you know, evening that as we sing that song from the depth of our being, from our hearts to the Lord, everything that has, in a way, blocked this fountain, you know, from welling up within us, you know, from reaching our loved ones, our brethren, you know, our neighborhoods, you know, and that which God has, you know, assigned for us to do in our this time, you know, we'll be released in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So let's sing, you know, that song, have the worship to the Lord, and let's pray, you know, that anything that might have blocked, you know, this fountain from truly coming up, welling up within us, as Jesus said, you know, as a river will be unblocked. in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There will be progression in our spiritual work. There will be life, hallelujah, for those who are around us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So let's stand up and just, you know, release ourselves and trust. You know that the Lord will not drop, you know, this fountain of life that the Lord has placed, you know, within us.
There's a mighty
I am now surrendered.
Lord, we just offer this song as a worship to you. You know that you flow through our vessels. Oh, hallelujah. You flow through our vessels. And as we surrender our all to you, we will live, hallelujah, as we should. Live in the light of your will. Live in the light of your will. Live in the light of your purposes and your plans for us. As we make adjustments in the ways we live, hallelujah, and the way we train our children, we trust and we know.
Oh,
and
we'll
see you work with us, you know, with signs and wonders.
Oh, Lord, Lord. Amen. Jesus.
Amen. So he sent forth his word, and his word healed them. Lord, we are asking for a healing.
Amen.
So we're asking for a healing to this evening. Okay, can we take this song? My heart. To you the same.
Amen.
Lord, it will accomplish the purpose. Lord, there is a purpose for which you send this word. Lord, we open our hearts that that purpose might be accomplished.
Amen.
Lord, heal my mind.
Jesus.
Lord, heal us. Heal us. Lord, heal us.
Yes.
Lord, did you not say that your word is a hammer? Lord, we bring all the things within our hands that we might break down the structures.
Oh, yes.
Lord, break down the images.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, break down the images.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God, break down the images.
Yes, yes, my God.
Hallelujah.
The things that we have worship. The things that we have exalted in our lives. Lord, we come today that you might break it down. Oh, let the images fall.
Amen.
Lord, we pray tonight, let the images fall.
Amen.
Let them fall. Lord, level the mountains. Make the crooked paths to be straight.
Amen.
Lord, heal your people today.
Amen.
And return unto yourself.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
We just bless you.
Amen.
For the ministry of the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is able to save us.
Amen.
And to deliver us.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we also ask specifically, Lord Jesus, that you judge our appetite for dead things.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Lord, we confess that we're people that love the dead. We want to dwell among the dead, but on our lips we say another. We see a craving, oh God, for dead things. We see ourselves fellowshipping with the dead, and we're at home there. We ask that you judge this appetite.
Oh, amen. Yes.
Today, Lord, we cry unto you, Yeshua, that you judge this appetite within us. Dislodge the things within us that crave for those things. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That God, our hearts, we yearn for you.
Yes. Yes.
Like David said, that one thing he desired, that he will seek after.
Oh,
to
yes.
dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And to behold his beauty.
Yes.
To inquire of the Lord. We ask you to give us such appetite. God, deal with the things within us that yearn for the dead.
Mm.
Jehovah God, hallelujah. We are asking this over specifically, that today there will be a recording in the heavens. That such and such a people, oh God, make this request. We ask you because, Lord, your word says if we ask for bread, you cannot give us food. We are asking specifically, Jehovah, that you dislodge those things within us. That yearn for the dead. And help us to begin to be practical, oh God. To take the practical steps, my God, to refuse to give suck to those things.
Amen.
And when the pull and the yearning come, we say no, like you told us today, that when we resist the devil, he will flee.
Amen.
That when we say no to one spirit, he will become weaker.
Amen.
That God, as we keep saying no, God, we see it gone. We ask God for strength to do
yes.
that.
Yes.
The things that pull us, unconscious, we just get there. We ask for grace to say no.
Amen.
To say no, to keep saying no, my God, until their place will be found no more.
Amen.
As the Lord said, Jehovah, that there was war in heaven. My God, and Archangel fought, oh God, hallelujah. I said their place will find no more. My God, we ask today, oh God, that the places of this wicked spirit that yearn for the dead will be found no more in our heaven.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be a people that are free, oh God.
Yes.
Free to eat, oh God, with you, Jehovah. Free to fellowship, oh God, to dine on the table of the Lord without any mixture of devil, oh God. For you cannot eat from the table of devils and from the table of God. Lord Jesus, judge that wickedness within our souls. We ask you, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just have that thing in my spirit. I was just praying to God. So, help us. We have started showing us mercy by doing for this ministry as the Lord, as we are singing that song, him and I, even before we started singing that song, that many of the wounds of our minds, of our loins, are sick, cannot sustain soberness for a long time. We just get sober for just a short moment. And everything just disappears. The burdens of the Lord, we cannot carry it. I sense in my spirit the Lord wants to deal with this condition. It's the conditions that bring me carry.
Yes.
It doesn't allow the burden to reach and told to us carrying the word to pay and bring forth that which she was sent for.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Is the condition before us. Lord, we come in the power of the Spirit of the Living God.
Amen.
Yes. Lord, we come in your name.
Amen.
Lord, we come against the condition that make us to cast our fruit before time. Lord God Almighty, we address this spirit.
Amen.
We address all that is responsible by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command by the name of Jesus to lose your hope.
In the name of Jesus, lose your hope. Yes, hallelujah.
Lord God Almighty, you are the God of restoration.
Yes.
Let all the holes that have been upon the loins of our mind, Lord God Almighty, the holes have been eaten upon the loins of our mind, bringing leakages. Lord, let them be sealed by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That our vessel might hold water.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh God, again, seal, oh God, the leakages, the holes.
Yes,
that we might have strength to come to the mountaintop.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord, God Almighty, everything that makes us, oh God, lie in our mind, we address it. For the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but you make them mighty to the casting down imagination. Lord God, all the abstinence that they release to make our mind free, oh God, to be at ease, we bind them
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let, O God, the water stay. Let your seed stay. Let the womb of our loins no longer cut. Because the Lord has healed.
No Amen.
Longer cut the
Thank
body.
You. Thank you, Jesus.
And the plan and the purpose of God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Let the river flow, O God.
Yes.
Let the streams of your river flow,
Amen.
O God. Let every Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bind the spirit of depression,
Amen.
O God, in the name of Jesus, for it is written concerning the children of Zion. It says, the wicked shall not exult upon them.
Mm.
O you spirit that caused the mind to be depressed, we bind you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We break your hold.
Yeah.
Be loose. Let there be release.
Amen.
Let there be release, O God.
Amen.
We ask for a release of the mind.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen.
Restore the years.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.